Well, pressuring, they have many means at their disposal. They are putting up pressure on many, many people. And at the end, I don't think that it will even help Israel.
Why, if this is true, why would the President of the United States pay attention to that lobby?
They are strong.
Strong in what sense?
They are controlling many things.
Controlling what?
Newspapers. Medias.
Your Majesty.
Banks. Finances. And I'm going to stop there.
Well, now wait just a second. You really do believe that the Jewish community in the United States is that powerful? They make the media reflect their view of foreign policy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They do not report? We do not report honestly?
Don't mix things, please. I don't say the media. I say in the media they have people. Not the entire media. Some newspapers will only reflect their views, yes.
No. The New York Times, for instance, is owned by the Sulzberger family, who are Jewish. Are you suggesting that the New York Times is biased in its treatment of the question of Zionism, Israel's existence, the United States' relationship with the Arab world?
I will have to put all the articles of the New York Times written on this subject and draw the conclusion. You can put this to the computer and it will answer you.
What you're saying is that yes, you do believe.
Well, let's wait for the answer of the computer.
I'm Frank Vaughn. It is April 16th, 2026. And did you have any idea that the Pahlavi dynasty of Iran, the one that they're trying to or would like to see reinstalled in Iran right now, did you know they were such raging anti-Semites? Now, of course, I reject the premise, the very framing of the journalist's question, talking about the Jews. I've always rejected the label, the Jews. What we're talking about is Zionism here, and this was recorded in 1976, 3 years before the revolution, very popular revolution, took out the Shah, who himself was installed by the CIA and the British in an operation in 1953, off the top of my head, to take out Mosaddegh, who wanted to liberate the oil from imperial control and give the proceeds back to the people. That was a big no-no. And under the Shah, Iran was a playground for Israeli intelligence. There's a lot of history there that I think is worth pursuing. A lot of questions, because they bear direct relevance to the time that we're in right now. History, if we bothered to pay attention to it, could instruct and prevent so many problems. But you're probably here for the title. Now, we've come a long way together. It's been a lot of years since I believe I created this channel in 2016 to talk about the rise of Trump and through the COVID era and through the PPC era and all parts in between. We have come a long way together, and it's with joy in my heart that I declare this is the last video that will be recorded using my old lighting. Did you know that fluorescent lighting loses about 40% of its strength over a matter of 2 or 3 years? And I've had these lights now for, man, I think I bought them right at the beginning of the channel, so they're probably 10 years old. So I have no idea what tomorrow's edition is going to look like with the new LED lights that I'm going to install later today. So this is the official retirement of the old studio, marking the beginning of a new era. Glad those of you who are still with me are still here. I also want to briefly address the tone of the last video I put out, where I tried to strike a hopeful tone, and it was my first crack at it because I just, where I'm motivated from is I don't share the doom that some people get out of my video work. Sure, I cover a lot of bad news and I cover the headwinds, try and warn people about trends that are coming up, but I don't have that sense of overwhelming doom. I'm surrounded by blessings that I count. I live in a good community with good old-fashioned style people. I'm surrounded by people who are I also wanted to quickly address the tone that I struck in my last video, because I really was just trying to communicate something positive, and somehow or another, that resulted in people telling me to go F myself, because I guess they think that I'm somehow pro-Carney. I'm not pro-anybody. I really just want to drive at what is. And what I was trying to highlight is, Carney's a bit of a wild card. He came at us out of nowhere. He's been installed on behalf of what or by who, I don't really know. I don't really believe in the legitimacy of the liberal leadership vote where they disenfranchised hundreds of thousands of voters. I tend to believe in the legitimacy of our elections still. I don't know if that's foolish at this point, but I don't see the widespread fraud that they have in the United States. And maybe the poll numbers are beefed up a little bit, but he is wildly popular. But the thing I really wanted to highlight is we don't really know what he's going to do. The world is backing off of net zero. And in the wake of warfare, I mean, one of the articles that I might show now highlights how Europe only has 6 weeks of airline fuel, jet fuel left. They're already starting to talk about grounding flights. How precarious the world's energy relationship, let's call it that, actually is. We rely on just-in-time delivery for just about all energy products. And a disruption like the Strait of Hormuz cascades, it's not just energy, it's fertilizer, it's everything else that we've covered on this channel. I believe that this is the wake-up call the world needs to abandon the nonsense of net zero. And I think Carney's already made his money off the carbon con. There's been a lot of money made by a lot of different people over the course of time. But these folks go where the money is to be made in the future. They don't hold on to losing hands. They move to the next winning hand. And I'm not sure he's going to do that. I'm not guaranteeing anything. But what I can tell you is the Big Red Machine ran an election campaign that said some very specific things that they were going to do. And largely, they've abandoned those things. And the majority of the Canadian public doesn't care. The Liberal Party's popularity only continues to grow. That's a reality. But this Liberal Party, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, has been taking an axe to immigration. Let's actually just, I got to just pull this up on screen. I'll have a look. Because I put some numbers out the other day that, you know, like look at this. Carney's cuts to immigration, slashing permanent residents, negative 50% temporary foreign workers, international students cut by 60, which begins to acknowledge the primary causes of the housing and infrastructure crisis. They didn't campaign on it for some reason. Slashing permanent residents, though I didn't put a number on that. This is something they didn't campaign on. And this is something it looks like they're going to continue to do. They're effectively lowering the population of Canada. And I've seen some articles from satire sites talking about how the Liberals are planning to declare Canada a sanctuary nation. But what if it's the opposite? What if Justin Trudeau and his philosophy made such a mess of things that in this new world of energy panic, the powers that be, whether we like them or not, have decided that Canada must be saved because it has vast amounts of natural resource wealth underneath its feet, which the Europeans, as well as the Canadians and the Americans, everybody wants to secure their piece of the pie. And Carney is here managing the country. He's not exactly leading in terms of what he said he would do. He's just doing things. Another thing that's happening is the stated and worked objective that they want to cut the public service by 15%. That's like one in every 8.5 workers, something like that, math off the rough, off the top of my head. These are huge cuts. There's no outrage in the media. The unions aren't screaming from the high heavens that they're being disenfranchised, or if they are, nobody's listening. It's not getting the full court media press. The Liberals are getting away with cutting the government. There's a lot of reasons why they could do that, but this is one of those things. This is a conservative wish list item that the Liberals did not campaign on that they are proceeding with. Eliminating the carbon tax. Like I said, they've been eating the Conservative Party of Canada's lunch. And we have to ask the question, why? But we've talked in the past about the Century Initiative and this objective to raise the population of Canada to 100 million. If we do that by century's end, we won't have any social or societal cohesion. It might not be possible to access the resources underneath our feet if we lose the core structure of the nation. With all the problems that I've set out, nothing changes about my assessment of the Westminster system and how terrible it is for the citizens and how our civil liberties aren't real and all of these things. All I wanted to say is we don't entirely know what this government is going to do now that it has a majority. But we can look at their actions. And I can say with relatively firm conviction that their actions are separate from their stated objectives. And maybe part of that, and this is just wild speculation, but maybe part of that, when he's saying that we are going to have a decline in our living standards and it's going to be suffering and pain forever, belt tightening across the board, maybe that's setting up for another capitulation. Maybe it's setting up for a stage where you say one thing and you do something else, which is exactly what this government has been doing so far. What happens if we come into June and July, negotiations for the trade agreement with the United States are underway, and we actually seal a deal? And Carney's language about the United States changes, because look, if you hate Trump, fine, hate him. Do whatever you want. The government has made a lot of bank on Canadian hatred of Donald Trump. I don't hate him. I report on him. People mistake my reporting about the mistake of the Iran war, which I think is a demonstrable mistake, as somehow not being on the Trump train anymore. Look, I want to call things down the middle. And to that point, if a trade agreement is reached and achieved, and Carney changes his language and says, you know, Trump's not forever. The United States is a bigger construct. It's a bigger thing than one president alone. And I think we can get along until they get another election. Or he says something along those lines. If he changes his tone, do you really think the Liberal voter is going to hold him accountable for that? They don't hold this government accountable for anything. All they care is that the Liberals are in office. What if it turns out that Mark Carney, over the near term, between now and the next election, runs the country from the center, or even in some ways from the center right? These are possibilities. I'm not singing his praises, but I'm looking at the public sector cuts. I'm looking at some of the tax rollout or tax cuts that he's put on the table. I'm looking at the reduction in immigration numbers and the leading to the reduction in the Canadian population that we've seen. Like, we've actually measured it. We're talking hundreds of thousands fewer people here than were here 6 months ago. If that trend continues, it's going to solve some of the issues, some, not all, and maybe solve is too strong a word, but it's going to help with the issue of affordability. Housing prices will come down. It's going to help with the issues. I mean, there's a full court press in the media right now about the failure of healthcare in Ontario. Well, if you reduce the population and you reduce the demand on the services might actually get better, at least for a while. You're still not going to be addressing underlying causes and the structural problems with the Canadian healthcare system, but you'll be doing something, because at the root of everything, there's two things. There was immigration and there was money laundering. And on that file as well, when it comes to criminality, the government actually looks like it's engaging in an effort to rein in the crime. And again, they're not doing it with fanfare. They're not printing billboards. They're not running on it. They're just doing it. Bail reform is just the tip of the iceberg. It looks like they actually want to get a handle on it. So if you reduce the immigration, you reduce the population, and you reduce the money laundering, you start to deinflate all the fakery within the Canadian economy. So I'm not trying to sing anybody's praises. I'm just trying to say, go easy on yourself. Don't get in a doom loop. Don't spiral too bad. We're going to go through this. We've been through a lot. The nation survived the first Trudeau. And we're going to go through more. We went through C-19. It looked really bad for a while. You had Doug Ford talking about going door to door to jam needles in arms. I was certainly panicking about that. At that stage, I'm like, if the government comes knocking on my door demanding I partake in a medical experiment, what kind of reaction, reasonable, rational reaction, as a man willing to live with so much and not willing to live with so much, what would be my reasonable reaction in my own mind? That's a question I don't want to have to face again, because I know what the answer is. That was a pretty scary time. We survived it. We're here. People are still seeking accountability on it. The one constant is change. And the one thing that you can count on from a politician is that they will say one thing and they will do another. And one thing that you can count on when it comes to Canada and the electorate is it doesn't matter what the big red machine does. Their base will applaud it, even though they'd boo it if the blue guys were doing it. And just to put a bow on it, this is what we're doing. This is the direction we're heading. There's no election coming. There's no cavalry going to arrive. The Conservative Party has been picked apart. Its bones have been picked clean by the Liberal Party. Maybe there will be even more floor crossers because people will sense that their political future is best tied to the Liberal ship. Pierre Poilievre, the best leader the Conservative Party has had in a very long time, maybe the best leader ever, has floundered and failed under the weight of his PR campaign. There's still the CCFR going to the Supreme Court about the gun ban. We still have that to look forward to. Maybe property rights. Well, they're the illusion of property rights in Canada. Maybe property privileges will receive some kind of surprise reaffirmation from the Supreme Court. I'm not counting on it, but at least it's being tried, and it's at least something we can look forward to. And that's all it is. I'm not taking sides. I'm not taking teams. I just tried to deliver a positive message. And man, a lot of you got really upset about that. Now, I was going to do another segment, but the hell with it. It can wait until tomorrow. I'm going to set up my lights. I'm going to finish putting a bow on this new studio setup that I have here. I'm going to put some thought into any additional studios. I'm thinking about building a second studio, actually, for live streaming. I've been thinking about that for a long time. I keep looking around for the right chair. I haven't found anything yet. But I want to get everything set up. There's nothing out there that can't wait until tomorrow, to be completely honest with you. The Israelis and the Lebanese look like they're going to engage in a ceasefire, even though as Trump announces the ceasefire, the Israelis are bombing the hell out of them. Kind of similar to what they did when Trump cursed and swore about the relationship between Israel and Iran and how they don't know what the F they're doing. It's similar to that. Right before the ceasefire comes into effect, Israel just pounded them as much and as hard as they could. But that's a story for tomorrow. I'm looking forward to retiring these lights. I'll see you in the next one.